It's that late night wet wipe stuff, man.
Wet wipe.
Dads.
Late night.
Comedians.
Wet wipe.
Get me?
Three dads, and they're all quite funny. Only started this podcast to make some money. Spotify deals and comedy tours on the agenda. Let me introduce all members. KJ, yeah, he put this thing together. Might be the reason that it falls apart. Came from the hip, but he talks from the heart. Ride or die for the team, you know it's Kazee. Darren Griffiths, getting told off by the missus. Been a dad longer than the other two. An integral member of the crew. Where he's from, they like to say, oi, oi. Darren Griffiths, aka the Essex boy. The doctor, always thinking about a sponsor. Keeps the pod on track, loves prayer,
just
that's a
fact.
Got a BBL just for the brothers that are black. It's Mike.
And this is Late Nights and Wet Wipes.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of them Late Nights and them Wet Wipes. You know who this is, you know who I be. I'm one of your co-hosts, Michael Akadiri. And I'm going to go to my far left now. I'm joined by the esteemed...
Hey, ask for your bill pay submission. Who's that? That's me. It's Darren G, 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 G.
G, G, G. And to the left, hey, this is a new face for some of you. Maybe it's a face that you recognise. This man is a father. He's a podcaster. He's one of... three members of the Dem Man Dare podcast.
He's the Beyonce of the Dem Man Dare
podcast. Hey, he's the Beyonce. Wow, you're saying that because they're not there.
Nah, he's the day one. They've had a few lineup shifts. I follow these guys from their day one lineup.
Oh, and then, you're consistent with it.
He's performed at a live show. Well.
Nice,
come
yeah.
on, smashed it.
Yeah, man.
But I'm a fan of Darren as well. I'm not gonna lie.
The love is mutual.
We're going back. We're going back. Yeah, man.
That is Smokes. Welcome to the podcast.
Come on.
Blessings for having me, man.
Yes. Yeah, appreciate good, man. It's good to have you here. Good to have you, a father. I've met one of your kids. They've been in the pod. They've been in the studio before.
My oldest.
Yeah, probably yours. Yeah. Because how many have you got? You got
three.
And how old are they?
My oldest is 17. He just turned 17. My second son, he's 12. Mm. And my daughter, she's 10. She turned 10 in July. But my sons are a day apart, so they were 28th and 29th of September.
Oh wow! So that birthday back to back. That's cash loss season. Cash loss season.
There you go. So let's paint the picture. So three kids. Same mum, different mum.
Two with one. So my first and my last is with my.
First and last.
Yeah, first and last.
We like, we like. There's a story there.
my brother's already thinking, hey, there's some maps here.
Obviously, I didn't step out on that. The first thing people were like, right, you're middle child. But it weren't. We had a break. I met someone else and we had a child and then we ended up getting back together. And then I really wanted a daughter, innit?
Yeah.
So,
there you go.
Having a daughter with her, so, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Still with her or moved on?
No, not.
Okay,
so on another break.
No, not even a break. We've been broken up since COVID, beginning of COVID.
Oh, serious.
A few years, but I'm seeing someone else now.
And do they have kids who you're seeing?
No.
Okay, not cool. So these all questions were asked like about dynamics. No, because it helps because what it is, because throughout our episodes, so with us, married one on the way, married two, Kazeem, stepdads. And then one with that woman. And then they're not together anymore. So we've had different guests with all different dynamics. So we just talk about all different parents.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dynamics.
Everyone has different parents. Everyone's
absolutely.
Everyone's kids are different. It's a good topic to have. It's a good conversation to have, especially now man's grown.
Yeah.
I still feel young, though.
Of course. Hey,
I've got a 17-year-old, but I still feel like I'm...
because you were young when you
guys. What, you guys share clothes?
Nah, but you know what? When he came to my house the last time, and he went home, but he was going out, but because we both got like the Air Jordan ones. But when he said, "Yeah, I got your trainers on," I'm like, "What? Why are you taking my trainers?"
That's me.
I'm like, "Brother." Yeah, so he will try and take some stuff, but it's cool, innit?
Yeah.
How it goes.
Because that's the thing, it's weird, right? Because I was like, 33 when I had my daughter, 35 I had my son. But like, I look at some people who had their kids young, right? And like, when you're young, you're like, oh man, you're just your life's done, you're tied down, you've got your kids, like you can't do this, can't do that. And then now I'm reaching my 30s and their kids are now reaching 17, 18. And they're like, I'm going on a holiday with my boys. I'm going on a holiday with my girls. True. My kids are just staying at home. They're good.
No sitter, no none of that.
Damn, they're released. They're free. They did their sentence. And now
it's a double-edged sword, though. It's a double-edged sword, I'll be honest. Having them young is good in that aspect.
Yeah.
So now when you're saying, yeah,
how old were you, if you don't mind me asking, when you had your first child?
19.
Yeah. Okay.
So like 18, 19. Another year. And I'm kind of fortunate in a way because we actually, maybe for the first 3-4 years, we didn't really do nothing. Like when we broke up.
Yeah.
I was like, right, I actually never done a lot of things with her to go away and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
and
that's
part of the reason why we kind of got back. I was like, this is selfish thinking. I was like, no man can come in here and I ain't even taken on holiday.
See that?
And then another man come in and
you didn't want to see Instagram and see family photos.
So when we did get back, I'm fortunate enough, even though with our kids, we've done bare holidays.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The kids have been Disneyland so much time.
Oh, they've been blessed.
Gone, we've gone Spain, we've gone Italy, we've traveled. Yeah. And then we had a dynamic where it was, we would do a holiday.
Yeah.
Like me and her, and then it would be a family holiday with the kids. And I'll go with the man, with the girls.
It was a good dynamic.
So I kind of lived, but the double edged sword is that having them young, I remember having my son young, and I would do like, I say it's stupid things because it is stupid things. Like, I'll just go and buy a tracksuit and crepe and we're matching.
Yeah.
Because I'm from the green.
That's all I was thinking about, you know, it's like, it's going to be matching
trains. Yeah, you're going to be matching, you're doing this, like, and then I lived in Wood Green, so I'm up and down the high road with him pushing the buggy. Like, I'm kind of grabbing the tent. But then with my daughter, I had my daughter at like, 27?
Yeah, it's different.
And I feel like I'm a bit more mature. She probably gets, if I'm honest, she gets the better version of the parenting and growing up and how she's raising. My son, even though my son, I'm proud of him. He's like, he's in college now. He's straight. He's not on
any badness.
He's actually trying to do his thing, which is good. And obviously, a lot of props to the mum. She raised him a lot more than the man or the man who needs to go to work or whatever and do what we're doing. But I do see the difference in the parenting skills and being young.
100%.
And that's why sometimes when you have them young, it's like, the teacher, they're growing up with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And then what as well is that your kids won't appreciate that until they're older.
Yes.
So it's just dad. It's just dad. Absolutely. But when he sits back and clocks, he's like, wait a minute. I remember this memory. Right, dad was 23 when that happened. Because my brother. Yeah, because my brother and sister do that now. Because my mum was like, she was 18 when she had my brother.
Oh,
yeah.
Got married at 19. And then had my sister at 21.
Mm.
Then like split with that husband, then had me at 35. It's like second relationship. Yeah. But my brother was saying that, like, he goes, he was like, remember some story about being at some like old school like house party and rave and stuff, and mum had got into some argument with some woman and had a full out fight at this thing.
Oh, wow.
And in his mind at that age, he's just like, I can't believe my mum's having a fight. Like that, they're adults. Yeah. Adults can't have fights.
Yeah,
he said that once he got to 30. And then you had to think back and goes, hold on, mum was 26 when she had that. Like, of course she's having a fight at a party.
Because
some woman did this and that at the party. It's like, of course, that's what you do when you're in your 20s.
My mum's only 20 years older than me.
Yeah.
And when I look back at things, I'm thinking she was young. Like, when I'm 30, I'm going to be 37 in December. I'm I'm not even that old, you know, but look back in the day, look at 30-year-olds, you're like,
old.
And my mum's, 57, she still looks young and she's still like, and I'm like, okay, it makes sense, but I don't know, man, it's a good feeling that they're older now and I can be a bit more freer and
of course.
One more year on the books with them, mum.
Yeah,
and then I can just deal with it myself. But I deal with all my kids myself anyway. Like, my daughter's got iPad, so I'll FaceTime. Even just FaceTime just before I come here. And my sons have got phones, so.
Yeah, because that's the thing. So once they get to a certain age, it's like you don't actually have to communicate with the parent. Not like
you
don't have to. But there's more direct
contact.
Because I've seen that with like my cousins, like with their exes and stuff, and their kids. And relationship's blessed. It's all good and stuff. Like, there's nothing. There's no animal beef between them.
There's no malice,
But it's a thing of like, oh, where's so-and-so? Oh, she's at her dad's.
Yeah.
And then the daughter, hear the key in the door, she's just come back, and it's more of a thing of, oh, how's your dad? I don't need to call your dad to ask how you, it's just, I'll just ask you how your dad is, and okay, cool, nice. And how so-and-so, would that be like the dad's partner? It's like, it's all cool, I don't need to talk to your dad about if it's specific, so I'm not calling him, but it's nice to know he's okay, cool, move on. It's one of them ones, isn't it, that dynamic. But yeah, that's mad. So three kids, and so middle one, so you say you go on holidays, so did all three of you go, or was two?
There was issues. Obviously, where you have a child with someone else and then you get back, obviously it's like resistance. So where I wanted to take him to Disneyland with me and do things, there's a lot of resistance early.
Yeah.
Things are cool now, like she's fine, like no problem. But then early days, nah, not really.
Yeah.
As much.
Well, in terms of...
They're close together.
There was resentment from your, obviously, now ex, that you have two children.
Or the, middle ones.
Bring the middle child along.
Or the middle one's mum.
She was cool. My son used to come over to the house. Like, my first one, she was fine. Like, it was cool.
Yeah.
Bring him. But the second one was more like, maybe she just wanted a relationship with man.
Yeah.
But I said from the jump, because it was a linking thing, I said from the jump, there's no relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So if we have a child, I'm going to be a weekend dad, basically.
And I guess the dynamic as well is I guess she didn't have a guy. So what it is, my guess is this.
Let's see the psychology from Darren. Look at this.
Yeah,
so
because for what it is, she's doing the single mum thing. It's like being a single mum's hard, isn't it?
Of course, absolutely.
And then he's now going, not just weekend dad, but whole family set up now. It's all... We're going on a holiday. It's happy home.
What makes it hard,
on that side as well, that her family are very family orientated as well.
Yeah.
So her parents are married, grandparents are married,
sisters
are all married.
So she feels like the black sheep a bit.
Yeah. And, you know, wait, man, I feel kind of bad because, like...
Yeah.
I'm not going to give you that, innit?
Yeah.
And yeah, I've never gave, but I think she just had the hope that one day we'll get together. But I was just like, when I make up my mind, I'm not, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the kids are cool, they're
the kids
are close. Cool. I think my daughter and my younger son, they're probably closer.
Yeah.
The two boys, they just fight. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but boys, yeah, nah, you know, yeah.
They're very...
Have you got siblings?
Yeah, I got a sister with my mum.
Yeah.
Then on my dad's side, I've got two sisters and two brothers.
So it's always just bare on the dad's side, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jamaican?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Jamaican as well. Disclaimer.
You know what
I'm just saying. It's a place of familiarity.
That's a suicide bomber right there.
Listen, the man outside.
Yeah, this is
it's funny because I didn't know. So I got brother and sister.
Yeah.
They got the same mum.
Yeah.
I knew them from young. My mum and their mum got together when I was really young, like 11.
Yeah.
So they made us know each other.
Other
two. So Jordan, he found me through the podcast. Imagine when I was doing a pod, he used to listen to man. Then he's clocked who I was after. Then he's reached out to me. And then from then, me and him's linked up.
Yeah.
And then he's got a sister, Jade. But I've never met her.
And that is your sister, though?
My sister. Yeah. But catch this, obviously. I don't want to throw my dad on the bus. Big up my dad. But obviously, he's... When I've told him about Jordan, me and Jordan's linked up. Jordan comes to my house. We're just rolling, whatever. Yeah. But then one day, I'm chatting to... And this may have been this year or last year. And I'm saying to Jordan, boom, boom. He's saying something about his sister. I said, oh, okay. Yeah. Like,
yeah. You're thinking that's his sister from his mum.
He's saying the story. So I'm saying, oh, boom. Like, that's good, man. How old is she? He's saying, yeah, no, sister from dad, innit? They sent me the picture. I had to get on my dad. I'm like, listen, well, how could you introduce me to
one
Jordan, but not? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they're in the same household. Like,
I'm still trying to
block it. He did give me a number, but I'm trying.
The way South Jamaica move, it's just like, it's nonsensical.
But that's not logical. I've never heard of that. Bro.
Yeah, but that's what I'm trying to think.
You
can't
be in the same household and you can't introduce man to, you introduce one but not other.
That's bonkers. No, but But wouldn't it be like, all right, you know, obviously way back when I was moving how I was moving.
Yeah.
You know, we could put how he was moving to the side, but wouldn't you be like, okay, this is your blood.
Now we're all grown.
Yeah. You got blood here, there, and where. And be like, all right, cool, meet your siblings, because you're all blood. I don't know. Why would
she looks exactly like my dad. is it? More than all of us. Like, when you saw the picture, bro, that is his face printed.
Right.
Around, but, you know, obviously it's timing, man. I'll
I just think it'd all be nice. Well, obviously it's your situation. If you all like met, like what are those that Christmas times where you could all just be in the same
man, link up, man. Cause I never
same crib and whatnot.
Obviously, I grew up with my sister and my mum, so it was just us really in the house and my stepdad. So a lot to my stepdad. I had a father figure.
No doubt.
Like I never had a father figure.
No doubt.
He actually brought me in more than my sister.
Right, I see.
Like, he took man Jamaica. He like because he's Jamaican as well. Yeah. But he took man around his family. Like he brought me in. Like I was his own son more than my sister.
Right,
even
see.
Though obviously he loves his daughter. Like, you know what I'm saying? But he took me in like I was his own son.
Yeah, no doubt.
Every day, obviously he was on the road.
Yeah.
But every day will come £10 every day.
Yeah.
He would just when he comes in the yard, he would just give me £10.
Yeah.
Every day, as a teenager, you're getting £10 every day. And
that's a lot of sweets, man. Yeah. That's a lot.
3 years ago.
£10 will run.
What?
Yeah, £10 will run.
Back then. Yeah, run. You used to have the penny sweets. And
yeah.
I remember £10 was a Saturday. Like, when you're a teenager, that is cinema.
Yeah, come to your bus pass.
And you go to McDonald's. You go to McDonald's, you get something to eat as well. And you can decide where you're going to get a bus or not. Because I was outside of London, so you have to either decide how much you're going to eat at McDonald's and get the bus or not get the bus and then eat more at McDonald's. Or might be able to get stuff at the cinema as well. Yeah,
I was even fortunate. So I'm getting £10 a day, but as I said, man grew up in Wood Green.
Yeah,
so I had the whole strip on lock.
Yeah, he's there,
When I say the whole strip on lock, so cinema, I'm going free because I'm not ever going in the cinema. Pizza Hut, I can go Pizza Hut and get food for free. KFC, I have so many KFC. McDonald's, no, literally... Foot Locker, JD, like, man can go places.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I had a girl on Foot Locker, I'm not going to, that could be her name, because she's not there no more, Brenda, but. Hey, big up Brenda. Like, listen, man will go to Foot Locker, she would say, just bring an empty box and bring a receipt. I'll go there, empty box, she would just write in the receipt, go in the back, put a pair of crepe in there, bam, gone.
Wow. Serious. Hey, so man.
Was at that age, man's literally
hey, just
like,
in case Foot Locker are watching, allegedly. Allegedly. We can't afford no law school.
I don't even remember. Do you remember?
Statue of Limitations.
Yeah, I know.
You can't say the name and say that was old school.
Yeah, but she don't work there no more. She that was years ago. Listen, no, they got raided one time.
Now, there were some shops in it that like that. So in Harlow, it was Sports Direct and JD. And I worked at JD. JD took their stock security serious. Serious in the sense of, I want to try a pair of trainers. It's like, here's your one trainer try on.
Yeah, absolutely. This is like,
but can I try both of them? It's like, give me that one back.
Now try this one on.
It's just like, but I need to see what these both feel like.
Look like
I understand that, but that's how you're going to have to try it on.
But.
Whereas like Sports Direct now, it's just like, oh, here's all your trainers, just try these on. I'm going to serve this customer on the other side of the shop. You're just there, just like, right, just got,
what do I do now?
But these trainers.
They give you 9, 9.5, 10, 10.5, 11, all five different pairs. Just take them.
Yeah, and the dub as well, because it'd be like, all right, I want to try like those pairs of like... Air Maxes, but I want them in the black, I want to try them in the grey, I want to try them in the blue, and they'll bring out all three pairs. Whereas JD was like, try on the black one and imagine what the blue one looks like. That's how
they give it back to them. They got to go back over there.
Yeah.
And they don't give it to you to put it behind the till, don't they?
And then that's what you can't hold on to these.
No chunk.
We were not allowed to let you hold on to that box.
Like,
you want these ones? They'll be at the till for you. That's it.
That's why JD's supposed to be making money, man.
Yeah. Whereas, Sports Rate. I remember friends at Sports Rate used to be saying things, just go, oh, we're getting the new stock in. So just come at between 9 and 10 and just tell me what size you want. And that's
so
it was
loose.
And it was so nuts. Loose. Yeah. And things like that, and it was so wild because it wasn't even like one person had like that move.
Mm.
It was like, everyone who's on that shift from all different schools.
Yeah.
So it was just like, just bare kids just coming in, just like, oh, can I? And like, someone's, can I help you? Like, oh, no, I want to speak to James. James is going to help me.
Because you know what? That's you walk in there, like, as a customer, you're walking in there and you're trying to see where my, and other people want to help.
Yeah, so, no,
you're
I don't
still
know.
Looking now, I'm just checking at this.
Look at tennis rackets and stuff.
You're walking around like you look dodgy walking around.
Yeah.
You know what you're
doing with purpose.
Yeah.
You're not doing it with purpose, you're just kind of loose balling in the
store. Balling around the store.
Just touching shorts. Yeah. Stuff, just like, just.
look at that swimming shorts when you don't swim. That's crazy.
So I was like, are you sure you don't want to help? So, oh, no, I'm really, I'm fine. I'm really,
as soon as James comes out, yeah, I've been told.
Yeah, man. Yeah, listen.
Scarf must be vexed, you know.
It's ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous.
Well, I had a fortunate kind of upbringing, to be
honest. Yeah.
I'm done, the message could. And my stepdad was there, and then I had the strip on lock, so it was just night. I just had the strip on lock, so it was all right. Yeah. And I didn't really have to go nowhere, because I lived in Wood Green, everything was there.
Yes, it was great, exactly. It's nice.
Back then, everything was there. We had a raise, we had Shout, Yates, KO,
Weatherspoon,
still, so it was popping, it was litty. I didn't really need to leave the end.
Good thing, because your son's 17. I'm not sure it's like here in Wood Green, but definitely like in my town. I've gone out on like, not like out, just like gone to get something to eat on a Saturday, like when I'm visiting my mum.
Skip, yeah?
You go, jump now, go. Yeah. And I'm looking around, I'm just like, where do these guys go out?
Yeah,
what, like, in Wood Green? No, but in my town, and I'll go to other towns, and unless I'm going to like a city, like I'm going to like Birmingham, then it's I can see there's nightlife. But if I go to a town, and I guess the equivalent of that is like a Wood Green or anywhere that's outside of Central, I'm just like, Weatherspoons, and that's it. That's all people got to go to.
It's meaty.
Yeah.
But before, Wood Green was so litty. But at the same time, I used to go out. Like, I used to go Basildon, used to go Watford.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to travel with, like, it was raving time. But in terms of like being in the ends, I probably up until 18 until my son, because when we did move out, we moved to Islington.
Okay.
But for the first, I'll be honest, for the first 2 years of me living in Islington, I was in Wood Green every day. I was driving back to, like, I would drop him off to school, and I'll be in Wood Green until I got to pick him up. And then boom, to the point where like the kid's mom, she'll be like, stop going.
Yeah, where are you?
Every day. Yeah, but that was my comfort. That's all. Yeah, I knew, of course. So when I've gone and moved to Islington, it was kind of a culture shock, because now I'm moving around white people.
Yeah.
But it was nice, because I'm seeing them in the morning jog, seeing them do different things.
Yeah, it's like, a vibe it is to this.
Yeah, it was just a different energy, and it's a different like feeling. Being around it, I felt a lot safer.
Yeah.
I'm saying that isn't safe, but I felt.
That's the thing. That's why London is so like weird. And but I understand also it's a city, but because these if you're not from London, listen. If you're not from London, what you understand is everyone says these different areas, but there's no space between these areas. You just roll through one, you're on the same road, and suddenly you're in a new area.
Like one bus will take me from Wood Green to Islington.
And
but then the scenery
and somehow everyone knows when one stops and one ends, but there's no real line.
Yeah, there's no real
but
line.
But you just know that, okay, I'm now in Highbury. I'm now in Highbury.
You can tell people change, because I'm a bus driver now.
Yeah.
So I drive through, I'm not going to say what route, but I drive through the ghetto and I go to the city.
Right, yeah.
I was going to put it like that. And I can, and each area I go through, there's a change. But what I notice is people only stay within their area.
Yeah.
So people might only get a bus from here to there. And that's their little section. Then the next set of people only from here to here, that's their section. Here to here,
because there's one bit, because
it's mad,
Because like get from like get to the city, like say if you go like say Liverpool Street and up to like if you top like top of that route,
what's that
147? Like 149.
Well, that's my route.
Is it your
route? That's actually my route, but I don't know.
I
don't know. That's
prime example. Yeah, prime example of just like you just go on the one rail bridge and suddenly it's just a whole what the hell just happened here
from like, Edmonton to. I would say from Edmonton to Tottenham, or Edmonton to Seven Sisters, you get a bunch of, because everyone's going from Edmonton to Seven Sisters Station. From Seven Sisters to, I say, to Stokey, it's a bit different. But then from, when you hit the Dalston Street or Stokey,
it just changes again.
But that strip now is lit. Like from Dalston all the way, I would say, to Liverpool Street.
Yeah.
On a Friday, Saturday night, it's just lit. The whole strip is popping.
So I remember when Dalston was coming up, kind of in that, the change. The
Yes.
And, because I remember, actually, we're the same age. I'm 37 in January. So I remember coming into London, Dalston Market and things like that. And Dalston had a certain vibe. And I just remember suddenly like Acosta's popping up. And then like a Cafe Nero's there now. And then it's now like a little like micro brewery in there. And it's just like, this is
there now.
Yeah, there's that little beer garden. I was like, what's going on? And craft ale. I was like,
because I've been doing 13 years, so I've seen the change. I was driving through while the change was happening actively, even Liverpool Street, even like London Bridge, how the station changed. I've been through all of that, so I've seen directly the change. And it's I don't know, it's nice.
It's odd, isn't it? I think everyone has the same conflict, right? you don't want these places to lose their identity.
Yeah.
And that, like, and obviously people live there and stuff, and you've got communities and stuff. But then I also like a nice coffee.
No,
I mean, I also like being chilled and feeling safe.
I don't really get coffee at the market, but I go Costa all the time. You know what I get in Costa?
What's that?
It's a passion fruit and mango smoothie.
Well, the smoothie, right? That's
my thing, bro. You see, summertime, you'll see that on my story all day long, every day. And it's like £5, but I'm buying there.
But it's just like, I like these nice things.
The only thing is they put a little bit of juice and beer ice, you know? Yeah. I can do the same thing.
But it's just like, I like it.
Yeah, I like it. So
I like it.
The changes is nice. I just, the only thing I would say is, I do want more like things in the ends. Like the club scenes to come back, because it's been taken over. I get it. Like, there is trouble, but I don't know, man. It's just that the energy and the atmosphere is different.
Yeah, yeah.
And the people is different, but... It is what it is, man. Man just have to adapt to how it is. But they are pushing everyone out. And it's sad that they push us out, because it's like... I was even watching something on Instagram, and a guy was saying about our grandparents and that, when they came over from the Windrush and that, they had big houses.
Yeah.
Like, he was showing in West London all the three-story houses that they owned, but then eventually they sold off.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, if they owned...
If they kept it, multi-millions.
And he was showing multiple on his road. He was like, yo, this... family, like, and not back in the day, they'd call it by surnames. This is boom, had this house, and he's going to each house saying where black people actually own the house. Yeah. Some of them still own it, and they pass it down, or some have passed it down, and then that generation has sold it off. But, like, if we obviously it's down to lack of education and stuff, but if we was more educated and knew what the properties would be like in the UK, but they couldn't move us out.
No,
all we needed to do was own it.
That's right. Because it's not like they've flattened those houses and built something new. No, it's just some of us just bought that house that is there now. Or they split into flats and still own it.
They split into flats now.
And just taking the money in.
One floor is this, one floor, then it's HMOs. It's rooms now.
Yeah.
Man, I charge you $5 a room.
It's ridiculous.
Nowadays, it's like $7.50 a room.
I've got a few friends who are from Manchester and stuff, and they're always posting just funny comments. Just like screenshots of Rightmove. Going, is this what you guys have to go through in London? And they'll post like the most like dega run down room, and it's like £700 a week.
My friend literally just moved out of London and went to Manchester.
Yeah,
and what he was paying in London, what he's got in Manchester now.
Yeah,
I'm like,
you're like, could I live in Manchester?
Man could live in Manchester. For the price.
Yeah,
and obviously he's got a whole flat. The flat is nice.
Yeah,
the TV's on the floor at the moment and stuff like that. But he's building up. But it's like, at least you got.
Yes,
your own space, and it's just nice. But
The whole,
you know how it was.
Yeah, that gentrification thing is like the thing that's like one thing I would have liked to have happened if black people were to move out of the area is if we just had gone to the same place.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing, because we all happened. Everyone just moved to different areas and stuff.
And I have a theory about that as well. I think it's just the government, man.
Mm.
Government just pushes us out to. Like, because you know what it is? When I look at the things like post-Cold Wars or beef and, like, because even, as I was saying, man's 17 and where he lives in Israel, and it's like they got beef with another side.
Yeah.
Even though he's not involved, but it's like, he still lives there, innit? But when they've come over from the Windrush, if you go to certain family events, christenings, weddings, funerals, whatever, all of our parents know each other.
Yeah.
The older generation.
Yeah.
And then they start introducing the kids, but it's like, yo, my man's got beef with my man over there. This one's got beef over there. But naturally, we're all connected. So when they brought us off, they just put us west, north, east, south, whatever, split us apart. And now we're kind of segregated. And like, even if you look at certain areas, like back in the... I could talk about Kinley. So if it's like North London, you know, Wood Green, Tottenham, it's majority Caribbean, Africa.
Yeah.
Then you go somewhere like Bethnal Green.
Yeah.
It's like Asian community.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if you go Norfolk and it's Asian community.
Yeah.
South Brixton and that is black. Like, it's like they've put us in certain
points,
put everyone else in certain points, and just made a demographic like that. And then when they are branching us out, they're branching us out all different places again, split us up even more. Because there was a sense of community back in the day, like, and like neighbours and talking, like, man can't do nothing here because if my mom's friend sees man out there, she can just give man licks on the street right there.
When I was growing up, because Harlow was so white, that moment I saw another black person, I just had to assume they knew my mum. Mm. I just had to assume.
But you got that universal nod as well.
Exactly. It's just like, oh shit, there's another one. Hey, dude, you're good. Yeah, and if I was messing around with my friends, not doing anything bad, as soon as I saw some older black person walk past, I'm like, I just need to.
Well, when living in like Harlow or like them sides, do you notice the change? That is a lot of people moving out to those sides.
Yeah, like that's the thing. You see, it's that wave of the black people from London now. We're our age and are having kids for it. I can't afford London.
And most of them don't even want to raise kids in London.
No, nah, they don't want to raise kids in London. Yeah. Can't afford London. So like, right, where am I going to go? And so the moment I tell people where I live, they're like, is it all right to raise kids up there? What's it like? And I'm just like, yeah, it's all right. And then like, they kind of look around because that would be, I lean in and be like, no, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, well, raising black kids, yeah, it's fine. It's like, yeah. They're like, okay, cool, right, cool, man. Cool. Yeah, right. I'll think about it. Yeah, because that's what like, because I guess that's really what happened to that generation. Because you had the Windrush, people come here, and then white people in London moved out to like Harlow and Hatfield and all these places like that. And then after probably about 10, 20 years, those black people started moving out, and that's what happened. My mum was in that way.
The white people are coming back in.
Yeah, and then white people come back in.
They come back in.
But it's not those white guys. It's different.
Different now. Up north.
And you're just noticing that it's like, as I'm watching it happen now, it's like different waves of people just come into London, and new waves just splash out.
Because I've got a lot of family that live in Peterborough as well.
Yeah,
and that's big. I've got a cousin. He gets London wage. Works in London. He'll commute and then go back. But he's getting big money. But it's not, to be fair, Peterborough's not that far. You could jump on a train into Finsbury Park in an hour. But the fact that they're commuting, I've been looking. I might move Peterborough. You know, the yards up there, like. You get a good yard for 200,000.
Oh, yeah.
Garden.
Yeah, proper.
Three bedroom, everything.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, okay, it makes sense. And it's decent up there. And it's not far to get back into London. So I've been thinking, you know what it is? When you're a Londoner, you're the convenience.
Bro, it's hard for you, the isn't it? It's hard for you.
Because I go out of London and shops are done at 6.
Because I only lived in London. I only lived in London for 5 years.
Yeah.
And even me. The fact that I grew up in Essex, then lived in London for 5 years, and then moved out to Hertfordshire, and I'm just like, the first year, I was struggling.
Yeah,
I was struggling. I remember being like, going on, like, worked late, getting on the train, and I just completely forgot where I lived, because in my head I was like, when I get off the train, I'll just go and get something to eat, I'll find something to eat.
Yeah.
And I'm there like, going on, I think Just Eat was just coming around.
Yeah.
Just closed. I'm like, what do you mean it's closed? It's 11:30. What do you mean things are closed? I'm everywhere was closed. It's like, not even like a pizza shop, like nothing was open. I was like, oh my god.
When
it's like
when you're accustomed to the I'll be honest, like sometimes Saturday, Friday, 2 o'clock in the morning, I might be up and I'm like, you know what? What's there to eat on delivery?
I'm hungry. I've got to get something.
I'll get a cake and custard, a milkshake.
Anything.
You can do whatever you want at that time in the morning. Like 24 hour shops. I could go around the corner, left and the shop.
There's one point where they're switching the street lights off at midnight.
Yeah.
Because that's like for some energy initiative. So I'm coming off the train now. I walk away and it's pitch black in the street. I'm just like, what is happening? Where do I live?
That's mad. I'm not gonna lie. I can't be walking down dark.
This is mad. And then in my head, I was like, I can't even get my phone out because I don't know who's. People can see me with my phone. So
I'm just shining.
I'm just walk in the dark and just hope no one else is out.
No, that's the only hard thing that I think I'll find hard. Convenience, traveling. Obviously, you've got 24-hour buses, trains ain't really 24-hour, but that would be the hard thing for me.
Yeah.
If I leave, the convenience of getting, I will have to program in my mind, I need to go out before 5 o'clock, grab what I need to grab, and maybe even cook.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
But it does help to help you cook more. That's what I want to do anyway. I added it back, but I'm selected on what I go on Uber Eats for. I might just, there's only a selected things. If I really feel like I'm going to get, but now I'm trying to get in the habit of leaving my house more, going to the shop,
picking up things, food and cooking.
Yeah, because you know,
can you cook?
Yeah, I can cook. But even if I don't want to cook, I try and go fast food. Because I'm like, sometimes I just want to get in the morning, I want to get a porridge from McDonald's. It's like, I don't know, $1.59 if I can't bother. But if I do it on delivery, it's like $1.59, I get hot chocolate, $1.99. That's like what, £3-4. But then the service and delivery charge on top.
That's
the one. Taking that thing to £10, but why is it £10, man?
Sometimes that delivery charge sobers you up, isn't it? Because you're being lazy, it's just like, let me just get this. And you look at the delivery,
Because with delivery, I've only got Uber Eats. Yeah. I don't really use nothing else. But if you get something small, they put a small charge.
Small order fee.
Yeah, small order fee. What do you mean small order fee, fam? I don't want all the big things, fam. Like, bro, it's mad. No, it's mad the way they're treating, man. Why? You got a small order fee, a service charge,
a delivery.
And then when the man turns up, you won't put tip.
Yeah, so do you want a tip? What pisses me off about the tip thing as well is they ask, do you want to give a tip before you've even like finished ordering the food? The food hasn't even got it. I said, do you want to tip him? I don't know if he's going to deliver it. I'll let me decide.
Let me know.
The answer's going to be no. But
yeah, I'm not tipping none. Some have been tempted to tip because a couple of men recently have come bang on or early.
Yeah.
And he's polite and whatever.
Like food's hot. It's just like,
when I see £1, £2, £3 on top of my bill, I already spent bread. Sorry. But I'm just like, be polite. Like, bro.
It's not your fault.
Appreciate your fault. I appreciate you, bro. Trust me. But some of them, have you not noticed, they lie on there as well.
Mm.
They lie on there, man, because like, you sometimes you're looking at, oh, this, what, that Brazilian man coming to deliver my food and that. These times some man coming to bring the food.
Some Polish study.
Why are you deceiving man on the app? Which was funny. The other day I was like and this was the real, I was at my girl's I ordered some food and the woman, I was like, okay. And it was actually her.
Oh, yeah.
It was the woman.
Oh.
I was like, why when I'm at my you want me correct, bro? Joking, babe, joking. Well, you know what I'm saying, man? Bro, the day that...
I'm... The one day it comes. Yeah, my thing is, I'm oversee a pitch. Sometimes just the name, isn't it?
Mm.
It's just like, Gabriella is there. Like, is it?
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Okay. Was it Gabriella that overdosed?
She Santos
roll
up, bro. It's like,
man.
Yeah, it's funny still, but yeah, man. But it comes part of the game. I get it. Everyone's got to hustle and do what they got to do. So I respect the hustle, man. It is what it is.
I respect it. So you say you can cook.
Yeah,
I can cook. Have you all through your... Well, before you had kids or all through life?
From when the first time I went to Jamaica, when I was like... Well, I want to say 2001.
Yeah.
Because I got taken out of school and I went over there for a bit. I went to school in Jamaica.
You went to school how long for?
It was like the beginning of, before the summer, because they took me out end of year 7.
Yeah.
Just before then, my stepdad wanted to go, but he wanted to go for time.
Yeah.
Like, cool. And then I went for the whole summer. Then a bit after.
Yeah.
Then I come back a bit later, but I was, I had to go to church every morning. You got to say the prayer.
Yeah,
like, they might pick you out and stand.
Was it like a Catholic school?
I want to say it was Catholic because most of the schools out there, the Catholic, and everyone's they're strong on church.
Yeah,
they're strong on the anthem and knowing what you need to know. And if you don't, but obviously I got away a lot because I was English. But it was a good experience. So when I went over there. Yeah, I learned how to cook morning. Like in the morning, you're cooking dumpling, banana. Like they're having big food in the morning. Like that's what I'm saying. Like you're having strong. So man's kneading dumpling. Then I had my little brethren in country, and I remember we grabbed chickens, put them on the line, chopped off the head on the line, and they just.
How old are you? 11.
Yeah, like 12. I was about 12, 13. I want to say 12, 13.
Yeah.
But they were chopping the heads of the chicken on the line, and then. Obviously, they're just flapping around, blood going everywhere. It's all mad. and then you just skin off, you burn off all the skin, the feathers, all of that, and then you're cooking it that night. Probably the freshest chicken man's ever eaten in my life.
Just died in front of you.
Bro, but when you're eating it that evening, it tastes beautiful.
It's good. I think there's a caveman part of me that goes, if I've also slaughtered that chicken as well.
Yeah.
There's like a sense of like pride.
It's a bit primitive, but
I imagine that must be said for actual hunting as well.
You see, like now with the food, you can, I can tell the difference. Like having that experience and even going KFC in Jamaica, Jesus Christ, never tasted chicken in my life so good.
Yeah.
What do they do differently in Jamaica? It's just different. Is it what they add in the UK? All the additives and preservatives and all the other...
Yeah, but over here they're pumping chickens, isn't it? Mm. But their chickens are grown. So I don't know if they're chopping it in the back of the garden just quickly or they're, yo, you get me, I'm fleeing it on. I don't know what they're doing. But remember, a lot of them in the Caribbean, they grow. Even when I went, because my grandparents and my mom's from St. Vincent. So when I went there, when I was 18, with my granddad and his friends, we had to cut up a cow. But the cow was alive on the tree.
Jeez.
Like roped up. But obviously, when you got to kill the cow, it's a mad thing. That might take five of you because the cow's on beef. Mm. It's not. Hey, yo, them punchlines. Hey, that was me a comedian. And let me open up for you, man, bro.
Hey!
No, but hey! Anyone that's chopped, like, tried to fight a cow, like, they're on beefing you. Like,
yeah, of course. Because they know. They know. They're smart enough to know.
Come smart. Man, so they're trying to attack that person, then they're running to you. Then someone's just got to try and cut the throat quick and chop it and whatever. That's right. Just let it die.
Why does my mouth open like I don't eat steak all the time?
You
like,
remember, like, nah, that's I'm with you, Mike. I'm a hypocrite on this.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh, it's so inhuman. Me, I'll like, be going to someone, give me a soy
like for the moment the animal starts trying to fight me back, I'm like, I'm not sure I can do this, you know?
Yeah, but that's a lot, but sorry to the vegans and that, but obviously I don't know, innit? Like, I feel like the food over here, I get people's having problems and the food over here isn't that great. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with eating meat. It's just the kind of meat that we're eating.
Yeah, sure.
Fire for eating meat. But, I think over here, when they're delivering stuff, even our fruits, bro, our fruits are even like, but you're getting seedless fruits now, like seedless watermelons.
What? Seedless fruit is mad.
It's mad.
But yeah, I mean, as you think about what that means biologically.
Yeah.
How's that growing?
How what's
that
grow?
And
the second one is seasonality.
Seasonality.
You shouldn't be able to have an avocado any time of the year. Or strawberry any time of the year.
To be fair, avocado, I won't go against avocado because I've watched a documentary that because they collect it from Mexico or like that part of the world, South America, they produce it every year round. Yeah.
They transport it.
Strawberries, though. I remember when I was younger, it was like, it is strawberry season.
Yes,
you can go get strawberries. Whereas now, all year round, you get watermelon
season. Like, I think the watermelons are alright because there is a drought right now. I've been going to the shops trying to get my watermelon because throughout the summer, man, we'll get the whole thing chopped. I don't know if you saw my stuff, just chop up the whole thing and I'll have that for the day. I'll try to have that for breakfast. I've actually been trying to change
my diet
and stuff like that to like eat a bit more healthier.
Yeah,
still have the food and that, but and I don't eat from just any chicken shop. I go chicken. Maybe Nando's, but I won't go. You're not gonna catch man in like a Chicken Express.
Oh, the Boss Man Chicken Shop.
Nah, bro, I don't go to them random chicken shops.
Where they got the pictures in the window.
Yeah, no, I'm not on all of that. I go Best Kebab.
Two strip burgers.
No, 2 for £2.
No, I'm not on that.
That shit's my weakness. That's our kryptonite. That's our crack.
don't get it twisted, but I just said I need to. It's not.
Yeah, it's too processed. It's just processed.
I literally have to talk myself down for it. Like, say if I get to Finchley Park, and like look at the train, it's like the train's not for like 20 minutes. It's like that's enough time for me to just walk out the station, go across the road, get some chicken, and come back. It's like,
Wait, bro, you go if you're at Finchley Park, go to the roti shop on the corner across from the car wash.
Don't do it.
Yeah, it's true.
Is it a roti shop?
There's a roti shop on the corner where the car wash is. Go across the back of the station.
Okay,
where the W3 and that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the bus garage.
Across the road. Man's got spots, right? I try and eat home food.
Yeah.
Like from my people, Caribbean, and like I don't know. Yeah.
No,
African food as well. I love a jollof. I'm not gonna lie. I had a bad boy jollof shop in Hackney near Mare Street. I can't remember what it's called, but I used to go there.
It was serious.
I always like to put Caribbean's under pressure with this question. What's better, jollof or rice and peas?
No, I'm a rice and peas man. I'm sorry, man.
I can tell you.
He's loyal to his people. He said he's loyal to his people.
I do like a jollof, though. It depends. I'm not too much on hot food, so sometimes with the jollof.
When they put one or two too many scotch bonnets.
Pepper. Why am I sitting there and I'm wiping my forehead?
Hey, man, that's how you duck out of colds, though. You duck out the cold.
But I shouldn't be sweating eating food, you know.
Have you had pepper soup?
Yeah, I have. Bro, I've had hot. I can't do it.
You can't do pepper soup? Come on.
Nah, bro. I will have pepper soup if I'm sick. And I'm going to sweat myself out. Yeah. But if I just want to casually eat food, bro, why am I just... Nah, I'm dripping.
As I've got older, I can't do the spice thing, you know. The hot, I can't. Nah.
It's meant to be good for you, though. It's meant to clear out.
Oh, hey, ducks, hey, the cold is freaking. Hey, pepper shoot's coming. It starts ducking out. It's that baby. Hey.
The police.
He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, it's off. It's off ski.
But I try and stick to that. I don't eat pork. I try to get the kids off of that as well.
Yeah.
Well, what's the feeling with pork? You just think swine. Is it, that sort of
it's a weird Jamaican hangover.
Yeah, I didn't really. The only thing when I did used to eat pork is only bacon anyway, and it didn't really touch anything else.
Mm.
I have bacon, but then after that, I just changed. Now I have like chicken sausages or turkey bacon.
Bacon like ribs. Because
some places do jerk pork, like Caribbean.
Yeah,
jerks.
I've
never had jerk pork in my life.
Anymore. I have.
That's mad.
Mm. And it was amazing. It was amazing. But
people say jerk pork is amazing,
yeah.
Fam, but I've never had it.
I had it in, you're gonna probably laugh, in Aberystwyth, which is like Wells, deep Wells. Yeah, I was there for a comedy festival and there was a Jamaican joint. And I was like, oh, give me just your mixed gruel. I gotta get the train. So put jerk chicken, jerk pork, put corn fritters, and he put sand kelsey. There's curry goat as well. I was like, this is serious, man. The pork was
proper, yeah.
It was proper. It was serious.
Something, yeah, if it's proper, it's proper, man. But I don't know.
Mm.
Because obviously,
I know in Rastafarians don't eat pork.
Yeah.
And is it like a sort of.
It wasn't. But I do have like Rastas in my family and Rastafarians. Mm. It was just my own choice.
Mm.
I'm just not eating it.
Yeah.
It's a weird one. No mad reason. I just said, all right, let me stop off that. And even like, I feel like I'm going to stop red meat soon, but I love my curry goat, so that's going to be hard. And then even I'm want to get. Do you want me to be honest? I just want to get to fruit and veg.
You want to get to vegan? Just
no, I don't want to be vegan. Vegan,
just vegetarian.
Fruit. I know it's vegan, yeah. But I'm not calling it. I just want fruit and veg.
Hey, you don't want to be on brand with them.
I've got my bridge with Smithy. He's vegan and he does all the health stuff. And when I'm actually looking on, a lot of things are coming on the charts of the food that we should be eating. Because I said if you can eat me. I don't think there's any problem with it, but I feel like I'm looking at certain charts like green foods means this for your digestive system. Red fruits mean this. Like when they're kind of breaking it down in colours, and I look at horses as well. Yeah, horses are strong. They only eat grass, fam. Them thing there, but they're strong.
It's true, really.
Yeah, but I guess they got different biology to humans, though.
No, 100%. But I feel like.
You want to go to grass diets?
No, just the way like everyone seems to just be getting cancer. Everyone like
obviously eating all this processed food is contributing to that, so most
that's
definitely.
Hitting in my mind of like, you know what, the fruit when there's certain fruits that stop cancer. For example, don't let me start naming fruits.
That's fine.
There's certain fruits now. I've screenshot and I'm like, I'm gonna get that in the morning. I'm gonna have this. This is good for your indigestion in the morning. Have this first. Because a lot of fruits are water-based, isn't it?
Yeah.
A lot is water-based.
Yeah, and there's antioxidants and those other
with the seeds and all of those things. That's why seedless stuff is a no-go. Because you need this. You need to grow from somewhere. You need
the seeds. Yeah, yeah.
Some of the seeds are healthy for your body.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? Like, even the watermelon seeds, they're meant to be good for your body and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's things I'm seeing and everyone's just getting cancer and dying. And I'm like, what's going on?
No, I hear that. No, definitely. Out of all the diets I've been on, the one that I've definitely felt the most different was when I quit red meat. I eat red meat now.
People say that, you know.
Well, in terms of what health benefits did you notice?
People say it just felt lighter. Like, I just didn't feel sluggish after eating and stuff. And just, I just felt like just as a person, just felt like it just internally I felt.
Internal, yeah.
And then it wasn't so much the day to day. It's when I did go, do what? Let me just have some lamb, and I just felt like my body just slowed down, just like for weeks after. I felt I couldn't. My body couldn't process it properly.
I had to drop out lamb and curry.
Yeah. That's the thing. So when you come off it, the moment you go back on it, just like what is, you'll feel mash up when you have it again. Different.
And if you notice as well, like chicken, realistically, if you don't season chicken don't taste like nothing. It's plain.
My cousin said that. He goes, do you like? Because he doesn't eat chicken.
He just eats fish.
Seasoning or the coating when they make the breadcrumb.
He says no one likes chicken. I like chicken. Do you like chicken? He goes, all right, would you eat chicken with no seasoning? I was like, no. Is that because you don't like chicken?
No one likes chicken. Seasoning, bro. Like, literally.
Yeah. And that's why whenever I go out somewhere and they have like a, you know, like a fake chicken or vegan alternative.
Oh, yeah, what? Yeah, like corn or something like that.
It tends to work because if they've used all the same kind of bread crumbs and the sauce and the seasoning. Actually, this just tastes like, that's the taste I wanted. Even though I know it's a cauliflower, I mean, it's just like, that was the taste I wanted. The chicken did actually matter.
It's facts.
Fair point. It's facts. But would you, all these sort of health benefits, are this stuff that you're trying to imprint onto all your kids, or is it something that are you quite loose and fast, or are you kind of like, they should make their own decisions, or you kind of one of these dads that are like, nah.
They make their own decisions because their mum eats pork and that, so I'm not like strict on them. Mm-hmm. Whatever they that do is down to them. I'm on my own thing. Obviously, I do try and, if they're around me, then I encourage healthy eating, but I'm not one of them parents that's like, yo, do this. I want them to be able to creatively be free for themselves. Because you know what they say about like youths as well? The messiest youths are the most creative youths.
Yeah. And
I feel like we take that away as like black people. We take that away from our kids sometimes. We make sure they're always clean.
Yeah.
Obviously, they can make mess, but they have to tidy up. They do this. Like, it's very structured. Obviously, yeah, there is discipline to it, but a lot of the kids that I've met walk around with mess on their face, I don't want to see that. But they tend to be, because they're just free.
Yeah,
so they're creative.
And their minds are elsewhere.
Their minds they're not stopping them. Yeah. There's no barrier from stopping them from making what they want to make. If they make mess around the house, and cool, don't mash up man's white walls. But if they do that, and you leave them to do that, you're going to see a different you when growing up.
Yeah.
Because you're not. But personally, coming from a culture, Caribbean background,
he went on the whole speech about creativity and just said, "Fix up, brother."
to himself, he went, "I hear that."
Yeah.
But
why you coming? Yo, running towards man, got bulgy on you, and you listen.
Yeah. No, sometimes I didn't feel bad. Because I'm scornful to my own kids, you know. Because I'm a daughter be running for pen. She's running towards me. I'm just like, move, man. Just what you do with the pen. She's like, what are you doing? And she's like, sorry, Dad. I was like, just put the lid on the pen. I was like, soften myself.
Yeah, you have to
put the lid on the pen. Put the lid on the pen. Now you can give me a hug. But
you do kind of block them from actually being, because then they feel like it's wrong. Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah, of course.
Do that.
It's what they're supposed to be,
and they're kids, so they should just be. Mm. But they should understand at the same time, oh, mash up the walls and I've got white leather.
But then, as parents, should we be having these nice things in the house when you got young kids? Because that's for my wife.
So right now our flooring is just getting fucked up to a different level.
No doubt,
like it's so. Although moved house, and that was like the one bit of the house where it was like, do what, we don't need to do anything about that. It's like wooden flooring. But obviously, if you spill water on these and you do not wipe that up quickly, seeps in, bubble, then that bubble just starts chipping.
Yeah.
And if you look at our living room floor, the amount of just bubbles, because the kids just...
Just spill
water. They won't even tell you they spilled the water.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah. So you're just there just like... You put them to bed now, and you're now walking around. So, why is it wet on the floor? It's like, how long has this been wet for now?
Yeah.
Wipe up, and you start seeing the bubble. Where it's like, it's mine. Yeah, so it's not the nice things. That's just the floor. That's like the floor.
Yeah.
And they're just mashing it up. But both me and like wife just gone, do what it is. We just get a rug. We just cover that for now. And when they're older, we'll consider putting new floor in now. But right now, this
you got to hold it down.
Yeah, this floor's going to just get mashed up. That's it.
You've got to ride through the period sometimes to get them past that stage. And like, I feel like as a parent, we was both flexible anyway. We're both very relaxed.
Right.
So like when we come in, cool, just chill. They can, as long as they've done their homework and whatever, then the rest of the evening, you can actually just do what you're doing.
I see.
Just relax. So like, my daughter just sits on the iPad all the time. But she's so smart.
Yeah.
So I don't really,
Well, are you trying to question where it came from? Or you said
no,
that?
Not even. I question, like, because a lot of parents will say, don't give them the iPad, don't do this, don't do that. And I get it.
Yeah.
But because she's so focused in her schoolwork.
No doubt.
And she's focused in training. And she's focused wherever. She's so focused. Then she's whatever, stay up until not late.
But
different. You give her leeway.
Yeah.
You have to parent your kids. You have to parent the kid that you have in it.
Yeah.
You can't just go, right, this is how I'm parenting.
Society says this.
Yeah, it's like, no, this is how this kid reacts. Because I know with me growing up, I remember hearing outside voices saying to my mum, just like, oh, what, you just let him have a PlayStation in his room and stuff. And it's, oh, he's just up in his room playing his PlayStation. But then my mum's like, yeah, but I've never heard his school once say he hasn't done his homework.
Exactly.
He's like, his homework's done.
Exactly.
He's not out. He's active. He plays football. He does this, he's that. He has friends. So why should I stop him? I'm just going to say, don't play your PlayStation, just to say, don't play your PlayStation.
It's good to let them do that, man. Because my mum gave me the same, like, yo, when you get in, take off your uniform and do your homework.
Yeah.
Once I can do my homework, then I'm free to do what I want after that.
100%.
And then the Fridays is clean-up day.
Yeah.
Before I was allowed out for the weekend, bro, I tell you, I have to, no. Polish the whole
front
room.
Oh, well, serious.
Listen, I don't think you don't understand the polishing I have to do.
It's Mr. Sheen things.
What? But I'm saying my mum's got beer ornaments around the yard. So I'm saying you've got to move this, we'll move, clear all of this, wipe it down, and this has to go back there.
Of course.
Everything has to be... These, I remember, when you pick it up, there's a mark, you know? When you wipe it, I don't know where that mark is now. That's what, and skirting, like, I had to clear up the whole, like, the front room was my thing, so my mom would even do the TV, the mirror.
That's
like,
it. That's
so you had the room, that room is your...
I had to polish the whole thing, and then the weekend I'm free.
Right.
Once I've done that, I'm good for the weekend.
You get so, did you do that to your kids?
Not so much, no, but I tried to, but you know what it is, their mom is way too lenient. Like, I was trying to be the stricter parent, putting rules. She's... Yo, if they make a mess, she wants us to tidy it. What? No. Yo, they have to tidy. Would you? I'm not gonna tidy after them. They need to understand lessons as well.
Did it come hard where you're a bit more trying to be a bit more strict? She's a bit more lax. Did it cause a bit of like friction or anything like that?
In the early days, it did because I was on trying to be disciplinary.
Yeah, that's it.
Because I had a son.
Yeah.
Obviously, growing up, my mom used to give my licks. So I was on yo. If he's giving them lick, but she weren't on that. She's like, no. And then I was like, all right, cool. So then I kind of, you do your way then, innit? And man, just follow whatever, cool. But, so I never really, like, I think I beat my son once.
You're right.
And I felt so bad
for him. How old is he?
He might have been, he was grown, 13, 14. A few years back. But I remember he was, I don't know, he just backchatted his mum. No, not even that. There's maybe twice, because he backchatted his mum once. I had to get onto him for that. But the other time was like, they had something. I'm coming from work and she's like, yo, go deal with him. I'm in my head, I'm like,
I wasn't here for this.
But I'm saying, what am I thinking in that?
Kevin Hart's got a joke.
I'm not vexed with
you. Yeah, Kevin Hart has that. Kevin Hart has that joke. He goes, why am I covered in? I've had a good day at work. And now I've got to get angry about something I haven't even seen.
I'm not angry about this. I have no.
He ain't
done it to.
Like, you blessed him up in the morning before you left.
Yeah, why didn't you deal with him at the time? Now I got to be the bad parent. Cool. And then I've done it. And I just felt so. I'm not going to lie. I felt bad. After, like, raw.
Well, was there part of you that wanted to kind of get him in a room and then talk to him, but then pretend that you. Just making noise today. Just be like, scream real quick.
Back to back. They weren't getting away with it. That room's there, boom, you get me? But obviously, it was a lesson for me as well, because it's like, do I really want to?
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
I could talk to him and have a combo with him. Like, with my daughter, I've never hit my daughter ever.
Yeah.
Because I don't want her to feel like a man can put her hands
on her. Yeah, no, of course.
There's a different dynamic to her,
then. Different dynamic. And I feel like sometimes maybe my son might feel like there's different energy towards my daughter and towards him, but he has to understand...